Thank you, Barbara. Is my microphone on? Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Michael. I'm sure I put Jackson in this morning. Testing. There we go. That's better. Got to start with the joke. Noah, the ark, they land, come to a stop. Tells the animals, go out and be fruitful and multiply. So they go out, and he's a good steward. And so after a year, he goes out to check on them, and he finds the wolves, and they have pups. And he finds the lions, and they have cubs. And he finds the sheep, and they have lambs. And he finds the snakes, and there's only two. So he kind of looks at them, and they kind of look at him, and he says, is there anything I can do to help? And the male snake says, well, you could cut down a couple of trees. You don't talk a lot about this sort of thing, so Noah just does that. And next year he goes around, and there are the lions, and now they have more cubs, and there are the, what did I just do second? The wolves, and they have more pups. And there are the sheep, and there are more lambies. And he goes to the snakes, and they're baby snakes. He says, this is wonderful. He says, but I have to ask. And the snake says, we're adders. We needed our logs. Logarithms, addition. Such a long way to get to that, wasn't that something? Good morning. May we always begin our gathering with God with a smile, with a laugh, celebrating. God is God's gift of laughter, sometimes is all that gets us through. Amen? Amen? By way of announcements, on the back of the bulletin, you see that there's not a lot going on. Ensemble practice is spinning back up. 6 o'clock on Wednesday nights, gathering here. Anything else? But next week is the first Sunday of the month. We will be celebrating Communion. The Tongan congregation will be joining us, and I think that Debbie Gunther has a prayer, or an announcement as our mission leader. Please.
Thank you. Okay, for Applebee's, we made 188, which is great. Thank you.
Amen.
And the next crop fundraiser will be at Just Grill on September 19th, I believe. And we'll have the flyers out soon. And then the other thing I wanted to ask, people can tell me what their opinions on if we should have the last maybe of the clothing giveaways the first weekend in November. I'm struggling if we should do another one. Yeah, so please give me your opinion on if you can help. And if you know of, if you have clothes, whatever. Thank you.
All right. Our mission work, our clothing giveaway, let her know if you think we should do one. And Just Grill is Iliff and Buckley, thereabouts, in that little mall there. Other announcements for the good of the order. All right, I have to tell you a second joke. Richard Schneer has been, if you've noticed, some of the dead trees are gone, and he cut down one of the trees. But he came in Friday. Do you remember Friday? It was raining. And he came in and he kind of wandered around a little bit. And he said, I was going to go out and work on the trees. He says, but my mother told me, he says, I got up this morning and I looked out there and it was raining and rabbits were out there. And he says, my mother told me never to go out with wet hair. Never mind. Blessings to all of you. Celebrations, gathering. If we don't have any other announcements, let's stand up. Let us be prepared to be gather and worship to our Lord. Stand up, wave hello. Let's turn to our call to worship.
Good morning, everybody. Brothers and sisters, join me in gathering to worship our Lord God. Come, Lord, and join us as we stand in awe before you. We are surrounded by your works, works of nature, works of compassion, works of grace. We are continually amazed. We are blessed beyond our comprehension. As we come in worship, we humble ourselves before the Master Teacher, Jesus, who is the Christ. We pray that you come among us this morning. And now join me in singing number 2189 in The Faith We Sing. This is one I don't think any of us are very familiar with. So bear with me. I've listened to it online a few times and hopefully can help us get through it.
Before we jump into that, I just remembered, Holly pointed out I have omitted the first scripture. Oh, it is from the book of Exodus 1, first chapter, verse 8, if you want to mark your Bibles and if you want to follow along in that way. So it is right there.
It is there. And it will. This song makes sense in light of that scripture. So. Okay. Seated. The first scripture for today is from the Old Testament book of Exodus, chapter 1, verse 8 through 2, verse 10. Now, a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, "Look, the Israelite people are more numerous and more powerful than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, or they will increase, and in the event of war, join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to oppress them with forced labor. They built supply cities, Pithom and Ramesses, for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread, so that the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. The Egyptians became ruthless in imposing tasks on the Israelites, and made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick, and in every kind of field labor. The king, they were ruthless in all the tasks that they imposed on them. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah, and the other Puah, when you act as midwives to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, she shall live. But the midwives feared God. They did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they let the boys live. So the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and said to them, why have you done this and allowed the boys to live? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them. So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, every boy that is born to the Hebrews you shall throw into the Nile, but you shall let every girl live. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him 3 months. And when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her attendants walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying and she took pity on him. This must be one of the Hebrews' children, she said. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, yes. So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed it. And when the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him as her son. She named him Moses because, she said, I drew him out of the water. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be
to God.
Thank you. Well done. We're going to talk some more about that. It's only the pivotal scripture for the sermon, and I left it out. It's one of those mornings for me. Anybody else having one of those mornings? Hang in there. God is good.
All the time.
All the time, God is good. By way of prayer concerns, on the back of the bulletin, you see some of our concerns of the family. They continue. We lift them. We lift them in prayers. I have no news to report from my friend in Johnstown. His wife is stuffing him with everything she can stuff him with to try and keep him from wasting away, but he's losing weight, and they don't know why. We continue with our prayers for people at war, the people of Maui, the people of Tonga who have suffered tsunami. We have two new prayers. Last week we prayed for Whitney. She was from South Dakota. She was visiting here. She was here because her father, Ken, was in the hospital. He had a double lung transplant, and we prayed for him. Good news, he is out of intensive care. He's awake, sitting up in a chair. She is not here. She apologized for not being here this Sunday. She's going home to double check and keep the home fires burning. So, amen. Amen. We have a prayer concern. Ricky was in the hospital this week. He is with us, but we just want to be aware that he was in the hospital, had an incident, and prayers for you, brother. Any other concerns as we come together? Michael, if you would, Carol Danielson down here.
My great-grandson Wesley had a little accident at the climbing wall yesterday and broke his ankle, so prayers for healing for him.
Tell me his first name, Carol.
Wesley.
Oh, this is the Wesley that broke his, that we know, that, and he broke his ankle. Prayers for Wesley. Other concerns? I don't see any other. Prayer for me, I completely forgot the birthday list last week. So we better read that. Monday was Jim Polliard's birthday. He turned 82. Yeah. Sansa Burvey turned 23. Edna Leach turned 85, is what I understand. Is that true, Edna? You made 85? Was it your birthday last week? That was on Tuesday. Yeah. Fran Doctor isn't here, but she had her birthday on Friday. She turned 85. I don't know how old she was. My son-in-law, Joe Vessio, and I don't know how old he is. He has not shared his birthday with me. This coming week, on Friday, the 1st of September, see you in September, Paya Kelemani. Is that true, Paya? And she's turning 21. Yeah. Moses Funaki. And Nalo and Pio's anniversary is on the 17th. They'll be 17th on 17 years on Saturday. Amen. Happy anniversary to you guys. Prayers for my tongue and my mouth and my brain. Those are the only celebrations I have listed. Do you have others? Other special things that have happened, celebrations you would lift. I got to turn off sprinklers. Amen. God is watering this arid countryside. It almost makes us think that we are not high desert. And we are. But it's been wonderful. Other prayers, other celebrations, other concerns. Let's join together in the unison prayer. You find it printed in your worship bulletin. Let us read responsively. Hear us as we pray, O Lord. Lord, our concerns are many. You have heard them as we have lifted them aloud. You have heard them in our silent prayers to you. Amidst those concerns, we celebrate joys. We celebrate the joys of our lives. We celebrate our families. We celebrate the joys of our homes. We celebrate the food before us. We celebrate the joys of church. We celebrate our free nation. Lord, nudge us to be aware of those less fortunate. Lord, guide us to a closer walk with thee. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silent meditation in preparation for prayer. Lord God, thank you for your creation around us and for the verdant harvest that is beginning, for the crops that have grown, for the moisture that have watered the lands, and Lord, for the seasons, seasons of growing, seasons of harvesting, seasons of rest and recuperation, and seasons of spring and new life. Help us be aware, Lord, that we are all a part of your great creation, that you have blessed us through all of our seasons, that you continue to bless us as we journey, that you have prospered us, that you have grown us, that you are with us in rest, and that in life and death there is life again. Lord God, we come before you. We have individual prayers, and sometimes we're impossible to be satisfied. When it's sunny, it's too hot. When it's cloudy, it's too cold. When it rains, it's too wet. And when it doesn't rain, it's too dry. Lord, help your people stop and acknowledge your great creation and your love and your care and the way you look out for us, the ways that you nudge us, the ways that you guide us, and the ways that you carry us and ours. Lord, we come before you confessing that we have not made our perfect journeys yet. We seek to return to the path. We confess our failings. Help us be honest in our self-assessments. See ourselves as you see us. Love ourselves as you love us. And grow as you would have us grow. Lord God, be with us. Be with us as we gather with all of your children around the world with the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We give you thanks for the way that you support your church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your witness. May we be all of those to Christ. Let's pause a moment. Barbara is going to lift us with an offertory.
Would you please stand if you are able? The second scripture lesson is our gospel lesson. It comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. And if you want to follow along, it's in the New Testament part of your Pew Bible on page 16. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks
be to God.
All right, Holly, don't go too far. Come down here with Stephanie and the young people. We're going to sing our VBS hymn, get a little aerobics, get a little bit of moving around here. To God be the glory.
To God be the glory, to God, to God.
Good job. Everybody's heart breaks up a little bit. Now you're wide awake for the sermon. That's a good thing. I forgot to ask you. We had baby lions, and we had baby wolves, and we had baby sheep. But what are baby snakes called? I don't have an answer for that. If you do, we'll talk about it. Catch me after the sermon, and we'll try and tie everything together. You are a wealth of information and knowledge, and I appreciate it more than you know. The New Testament, this is an interesting one. Jesus asking, who do you say that I am? And all four Gospels record this incident. It must have been an interesting moment. It must have really impacted the disciples because they all recall it. It is only in Matthew that Jesus gives Peter the keys to the kingdom. And he calls him Peter, which was Petros, which means rock. Your pastor, the rock. Sometimes I just feel like a rock rolling down the hill. But Simon Peter, upon this rock I will found my church. That's what he was talking about, that Petros. But he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Gave rise to a billion jokes about Simon Peter and people trying to get in through the gates. It's the only one that includes this part, that he has the keeper of the kingdom. Don't know. I can't imagine Simon Peter would have all that knowledge, but I know the Savior does. I know the Son of God sitting at the right hand knows us and is our advocate, and we should be grateful. Enough of the New Testament. I've got to go to the Old Testament passage. That was a long one. Poor Holly had no heads up on it. She said, I don't see two scriptures this morning. I didn't catch it till this morning. So she read that cold, did a great job. Holly, thank you. She's awesome. Most of you knew that passage. Most of you knew that story, that this is the Moses birth narrative. And it's a long reading. We don't often get to read the whole thing because it is long. I mean, it took us, two or three hours to get all the way through that, didn't it? Holly did a great job. But it helps us remember that Moses is the epic hero of the Old Testament. He is the core. He's the central one, and every part of his life is epic. And here it is, this important birth. We need to back up a little bit with some antecedent action. Before this happens, you remember Joseph, second youngest son of Jacob and Rebekah, the baby, the youngest one. But his father loved him more than the other brothers, and they're jealous. And he had a fine coat of many colors, and they decided to kill him. But then they decided they could throw him in a pit, let animals eat on him. And then they decided, well, we'll sell him. You remember that, Joseph? And he gets out of the pit, and he gets sold into slavery in Egypt. He goes to Egypt. He's imprisoned there. He ends up interpreting the dreams of the Pharaoh and becomes the Pharaoh's grand vizier. That's not the term they use in the Bible, but if you are familiar with Disney, he did a movie, The Prince of Egypt. It wasn't Walt, but The Prince of Egypt does a pretty good job of recounting this story of Moses and his growing up. And it is the grand vizier. Joseph becomes the grand vizier. I'm mixing my stories up. Yep. It's one of those mornings. That's a good thing August is almost over. Whoof. But this is Joseph. He becomes the grand vizier. And it's a Cinderella story. It really is, if you think about it. From nothing, a nobody, a Hebrew in prison, to second most powerful in Egypt. But all of that has happened. And our scripture begins, it says, a new Pharaoh arises that does not know God, is not happy with the Hebrews, is threatened by them, in fact. There are too many foreigners. Too many, they're going to take over. They're going to change us, the world. They're going to change our lifestyle. It's intriguing we hear some of those words uttered today. But Pharaoh orders the midwives to kill the babies on the birth stool. He has a simple solution. Just go right to the moment of their inception and just bend the women. Isn't this great? He says, how come the babies, we're not decreasing in babies? How come this isn't being carried out? Oh, the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them. I have to just grin, these vigorous Hebrews. Heroic action, though. Pause and think about that a moment. As a midwife, you're called by law to do something that you know is wrong. They commit civil disobedience that could cost them their lives. They do not obey an unjust, uncivil law. They obey God instead of doing an evil thing. This thrills me. I mean, I hear this and I have to just sit back and say, what courage, what core faith. And they are simple, unnamed myriads of women, of midwives, obedient to God. Well, so Pharaoh realizes it's not working, and he decides, well, I'll make an edict. All of the boys born of the Hebrew women shall be tossed into the Nile. Kill all of the male children. We've heard that story somewhere, haven't we? I mean, it's the wrong season for it, but come December, we'll probably hear that story toward the end of December about Christmas Eve. We'll hear about Herod calling for the death of the children to try and kill Jesus before he can grow. The massacre of the innocents. Pharaoh says, every boy that is born to the Hebrews, you shall throw into the Nile, but you shall let every girl live. Slaves, servants. So Moses' mother, and later we find out her name is Jochebed. It isn't in this scripture, and she isn't named by name here. Women were not named. Isn't that tragic? I mean, there are a lot of wonderful historic women, and they're not named, but it was a sign of the times. Women weren't. They just weren't. But she has Moses, and when he's 3 years old, she could no longer hide him. I had to stop and think about that when I had my kiddos. They made more noise in the first 3 months of their life than they did afterwards. But, you know, she might have had some way of hiding that. But Melissa and her sister Sarah were always crying, it seemed like. Maybe that was just me. She's ignoring me. She's a smart girl, isn't she? So she does an interesting thing, Jochebed. She takes her baby and she makes a tabor. Do we have a slide there, Miss Paya? Tabor. I don't know if you can see the Hebrew. I put it up there for those of you that read Hebrew fluently. But it's a tabor. That's the term. It's a basket, a container, a vessel, an ark. Same word. Same word. When Noah, you wondered where Noah was going to fit into all of this, didn't you? I told the Noah joke this morning on purpose. I had to search for that joke, and it was an awful joke. But it's God called Noah to make a tabor, an ark. And God told Noah to make us an arky, arky. God told Noah to make me an arky, arky. Make it out of gopher, barky, barky. Children of the... Holly, I should have had you up here doing this. Make it out of gopher wood, cypress. That's the ark that Noah's designed. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. That's exactly what we heard her do, isn't it? When here is Jochebed, and she takes reeds and she weaves them and then seals with bitumen and pitch. Same thing. She's making a little ark. Isn't that fun? Arks saving humanity again. And then they put the ark in the water. She's a good mom. She does not trust it just to the current and pray and hope. And I mean, we can pray and hope, but she's a good mom. And so Miriam, Moses' sister, she keeps an eye on the basket. She's hiding there in the background watching, and Pharaoh's daughter is bathing with her entourage. She's unnamed. I explained that a minute ago, didn't I? Important, pivotal women that did important things. She's unnamed, and she sends her maid to get the arky out of the water. She didn't go in herself. Who would expect her to? So she sends her maid, and the maid brings it, and she brings the tabor to Pharaoh's daughter, and when she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. This must be one of the Hebrew children, she said. Then Moses' sister, Miriam, said to Pharaoh's daughter, who we don't know her name, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" "Why, yes, that's a good idea." "Yes," the daughter says. So the child went and found, it just so happened, a Hebrew woman who could provide as a wet nurse. It was Jochebed, Moses' mother. Don't you just grin from ear to ear the way it just, it's just as if it was a grand design. A grand design indeed. She gave the child to Jochebed and said, "Raise him." And then she named him Moses, because "I drew him out of the water." Apparently that's what Moses means. I didn't know that. But she raises him until he's weaned. And I didn't remember that particular passage. How old are kids when they're weaned? I looked it up on Wiki. Anywhere from 18 months to 4 years old. Kids weaning can happen anywhere along there. And it isn't an abandonment of the child. It's simply a stopping of nursing the child. So how old do you have to be weaned? I think I know a lot of adults that are not yet weaned. I read about some of those in the paper. It worries me. But it tickles me. Here is Jochebed, who's going to be raising her birth son in the royal court. It is important to note the Pharaoh's daughter's act. She is unnamed to us, and that's tragic, because she does something amazing too. Hers is an act of civil disobedience as well, isn't it? Her father, the Pharaoh, has ordered the death of all of the Hebrew male children. And she disobeys it and takes the child in and raises him as her own. Pharaoh's daughter names him Moses. She names him, drawn out of the water. She saves Moses, doesn't she? No, she didn't really save Moses. God did. God draws Moses out of the water. God prospers Moses to lead, to become the great leader of the Old Testament. to lead the people, to become a spokesman for God, to lead the Egyptian people, the Hebrew children, out of captivity, to grow God's community, to grow God's community that one day will grow and stand upon a rock. Upon this rock, this Petros, I will build my church. So today we hear a myriad of stories of God doing God's mighty works for God's people. Amen? Amen. Let's sing. Let's stand and sing. We have one last hymn to sing. Thine be the glory. Stand if you're comfortable doing so. Holly, come lead us, please. Do that right now. Yes, okay. Please.
Before we sing, I had gotten a text from Ruby and I forgot to share it at the appropriate time. So Ruby said that she's home, and I think Sandy may have told us that she was going home. But she's home and she's doing pretty well. She appreciates everybody's prayers so much, and all the cards make her day, she said. And she said, please keep the prayers coming because there's a long road ahead. So okay. That's just
thank
an update on Ruby.
And I forgot to notice the flowers are from Edna's.
Oh, from Edna.
Yeah, could you?
Oh, the flowers are from Edna's garden? Is that right?
They're those are Laura's.
Oh, well, they're gorgeous. Thank you so much for sharing. They're beautiful. All right, and now we're going to sing one of my favorite hymns, Thine Be the Glory, found on page 308. Brothers and sisters, we've come, we've gathered with Moses in the waters and been saved through an ark.
We've been saved through an ark multiple times, and we are prospered, and now we stand upon Jesus Christ and the rock of his church, and we are grateful. Take that love and gratefulness in your witness to the world in the name of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Join hands. Let's sing our closing. And God's people said, Amen. Amen.